Hector, thank you for leading those songs. I've been wanting to lead some of those songs for a while, but I wasn't sure if the congregation knew those songs. And now, whenever the next time I get an opportunity to lead singing, I'm going to say, okay, we're going to go on with these songs. We've known them. It's been very refreshing to me to go back to youth devotional days or special occasions or campsites. And remember, these songs aren't just for those occasions. They are fit for worship. They're coming right out of the Bible. Right out of the Word of God. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 or grab a Bible that's in the pew by you. That is where we are camped out today. We are continuing our series on discerning the body. We are discovering the church and going in depth to define and understand this concept of what the Lord meant when He would establish His church. What is this church that we come to every Sunday morning? Now, members, let me share something with you. If you've already received your church directory informational handout sheet, you will see that the word church is spelled with a small c. I did not make a typo on that. Let me be very clear with you. And if you have any questions, well, you're going to have to keep coming back because I am going to explain that as we go further into this series on the church. It won't be in today's lesson, so you will just have to keep coming back. On with our lesson. Let's talk about the day the church door opened. We've been talking about the church has been prophesied. We've been given clear definitions of what the church is and what the word means. And when did it come into existence? So that is what we're focused on today, and that is why we are in the book of Acts on chapter 2. In 1965, most of us will remember, the United Artists Corporation released a film on the life of Christ, which was titled The Greatest Story Ever Told. And the movie depicted the life, ministry, and the passion of Jesus Christ with Jeffrey Hunter portraying Jesus. Now, all you Star Trek fans will remember that Jeffrey Hunter, a few years after he portrayed Jesus, went on to portray Captain Christopher Pike in the pilot of the Star Trek episode. I just had to show my geekness to you a little bit. To remember that. And although the production was not quite faithful to the divine record, its title does remind us that the incarnation of Christ truly is the greatest story ever told of all time. There will never be a better story that will ever be told about this. So, but if we put this in a movie or stories or in TV or in television series format, we got to ask ourselves the question, so what would be the sequel to this story? And you know how sequels usually go in movies or in television. Some, most of the time, they're not quite as good as the original, if truth be told. Not so in this case. As one reads the book of Acts, it becomes obvious that the continuation to the greatest story ever told is the launching of the church. Now, if we go back using that television movie analogy again, we can say the phrase, previously on whatever. You know, and they'll show scenes from a previous episode that they showed. But if we go back further and remind ourselves what Jesus told his disciples during his ministry, that he declared to them in Matthew 16 verses 13 through 20, when Peter made that confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, when Jesus replied, God bless you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And I say to you, Peter, you're Peter, and upon this rock, meaning the fact, that truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that I will build my church. And we know that the church main key cornerstone, the main stone, the key cornerstone of the church's foundation was laid when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so the story of heralding the kingdom of God in existence, as we start in the book of Acts, is filled with high adventure and gripping excitement, as one would expect. So we're focusing in on Acts chapter 2 today, and let's treat this chapter in Acts as if it were an entire book, and divide this story into its respective segments, or chapters, if you will. It's going to be fascinating. I got a lot of material to cover. I will get you to your cruise ships on time. I promise our visitors. But let's start with this. Begin with me with verses 1 through 5 and take a look at this chapter, which I've kind of called the divine outpouring. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Let me stop there. Who is the they? That is a pronoun. What does every pronoun have to have? If you're an English major, you know this. Every pronoun has to have an antecedent defining of who the pronoun is. Who is this they we're talking about? This they is the apostles. How do you know that, Brother Millerton? Well, because I know that originally the Bible in the New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, was not originally divided in chapter and verse divisions. So if you back up at the end of chapter 1, it says, "And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles." This was after the resurrection, after Judas had committed suicide. And they replace him with Matthias, and it says, "And he was added to the 11 apostles." So we get to verse 1 of chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they," the apostles, "were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability." So the setting of the story is the historic city of Jerusalem, where the Lord had told the apostles to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And if you read the gospel account, some time had come where they thought they may have misunderstood the Lord during that 40-day period between his resurrection and the ascension into heaven. And so much time had gone by, the apostles had wandered all the way back up to Galilee to go to work, back to their process of fishing. And Jesus appeared to them again and had to march them back to Jerusalem after that magnificent catch of fish that that he helped them to catch. So they're here in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which is a feast day celebrating the harvest of grain, and it was also known as the Day of Atonement. And from all over the Roman Empire, Jewish men with their families had come here to keep the festival. Now, it was prophesied in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, and Micah 4, 1 through 3, that Jerusalem would be the place from which the new covenant would have its inaugural proclamation. And as Jesus promised them, and only them, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. No one else. And so the Lord outpoured his Spirit, the divine outpouring of his Spirit upon the apostles. And so next we moved into the next chapter of this, the distracted multitude, verses 5 through 13. It says, "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" Pause here for a moment. Galileans were not known to be the most educated or knowledgeable people. They were considered the lower class of people that no one would have ever really paid much attention to. But they're asking, "Aren't these Galileans speaking to us? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'" Oh, they're drunk. Some were trying to say. But notice what happened here in this little segment. The Lord from heaven had called attention for everybody through this loud, mighty, rushing wind, maybe something like an explosion, a loud noise. And it was something so out of the ordinary, we as people, we have to go see this. We see things, we see horrible accidents on the road, especially here on the causeway, so many times. And if you've been stuck in traffic, what do you do when you pass by where the scene is? We all do it. It's a good Texas word, we rubberneck. We gotta see what happened. And that's what happened here. With the loud rushing wind, the Lord called attention for all the people that were there to come rush to see what was happening. And he brought them to the apostles. After the Lord had poured out his spirit upon them and given them the ability to speak languages that they had never heard before. And what does this tell us? We get into this talk of speaking in tongues. We've had debates with this, with denominational groups for what happened. But the simple truth is this, when it comes to the speaking in these tongues, these languages, God has a message. And he wants everybody to hear it. Because everything in life depends on this information. And so we go through with this, with our next chapter, I'm calling the disarming introduction, verses 14 through 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Some translations say, or versions say, it's only the third hour of the day. He says, "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Quote, 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" Prophecy does not just mean foretelling of the future. It means sharing the word of the Lord. It means preaching. It means telling people. "And they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, and blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter says, we're not drunk, and we're speaking these languages so that you will know. You will know for certain that the Lord is keeping his promise from the prophet Joel, who said what you've been looking for in these last days. That term, the last days, means under the current kingship of what we're going through. And what the Lord means in his prophecy, in the last days, during the kingdom of his Christ, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is declaring to them, pay attention to this, folks. This is the fulfillment of what God has promised to do in the last days, where he'll pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. This is what you are seeing. And he says, and you ought to see this as a special day. Just think of it. You are witnessing the fulfillment of what God has promised that he would do. We know all throughout the gospel accounts, the people of Judea, they were looking for the Christ, as we studied in our previous lessons. They knew the time had come. They knew the prophecies of Daniel, chapter 2, that when the fourth empire would arise, that would be the time when the kingdom of heaven would come, the kingdom of the Christ, of the Son. And this is Peter saying, it's happening right now, here before your eyes. You better be paying attention to this. And so here comes the next chapter, the dynamic oration. Here comes Peter's sermon. We go back to Matthew 16, 13, 20, where Jesus told Peter, and Peter, you will be given the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosened in heaven. The key is being pulled out. Pay attention. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. He's reminding them, you've seen him. You know who I'm talking about, Jesus of Nazareth. You've seen him do many miraculous things. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently that our ancestor David, that he both died and he was buried, and his tomb is still with us today. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. And foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus, God raised up. And of that, all of us, him meaning the apostles, all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Peter is saying that God has said to his Christ, to his Son, who's now at the right hand, meaning he is now co-regent with the Father, that his kingdom, his dominion is here, which Jesus proclaimed before his ascension to his apostles in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Peter's making it known that Christ is large and he is in charge. And the Father is saying, you stay here, you are in charge until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. They know that term phrase, until I make your enemies your footstool. Peter has made it clear, you are those enemies that the Lord is talking about. You put the leaders, you in conjunction with the leaders, coordinated to hand Jesus over to be crucified. And God, the Lord knew this was going to happen. This is part of his plan, but it still doesn't make you innocent. You are guilty of his blood. They knew wrath is going to come upon them for crucifying the Christ, the one that was prophesied, who is now in charge. His kingdom has come. Well, nobody wants to sit in the guilty seat. And so you're going to ask the preacher, why are you going to bother telling us these things if there's nothing we can do about it? So that's what they do. So now we move into the next chapter, the prescribed response. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said to them, here's what you're going to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were told what to do. Now let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, every Jew who came to offer sacrifices, they knew, they came expecting, they were going to be baptized on that day. All around the temple area are what are called mikvahs, baptistries, if you will, For every Jew came to those mikvahs, those baptistries, to fully immerse, to be clean from head to toe before they went to the priest to present their offering of sacrifice to the Lord to signify that they had purified themselves on the inside by showing it on the outside as well. They had come to be baptized at that time, they thought, under the name of Moses, under the name of the law. But Peter tells them, if you don't want to be made the Lord's footstool, if you want to escape the wrath, go on to being baptizing, but your baptism has changed. It's no longer under the law of Moses. You are now going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and that will get you off the hook. You are going to repent of what you did. You are going to start following the Lord's ways. You are now under a new covenant system, the covenant of the Christ. This is the prescribed response to have it, to be cut in the heart, to be sorry for what we've done, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you continue walking in that way. The word repent here was not a one-time thing. The original Greek is what we call perfect tense. It's an ongoing action. Continuous repentance, continuing to follow the word of the Lord. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which we have recorded for us in the Bible now, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And so our last chapter we look at today in our study is the community of the saved. That previous chapter, Peter took out the keys of the kingdom and he unlocked the door. Because those who followed those instructions to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, they were added to that living temple we call the church. And they have now become the community of the saved. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. He added to the number of the church. What a sequel. And it's the best sequel that could be, because as we conclude our thoughts today, this sequel is never ending, because more and more people, more and more souls are still being saved every day by preaching that is going on in every part of the world, where there are missionaries, wherever the gospel is being preached. People are still responding to that divine response, to that prescribed response given to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, which puts you into the Lord's church, into the community of the saved. And that action can still take place today for anybody who is in a non-saved condition, who is going to be made the Lord's footstool unless a change is made when the Lord comes. We're on limited time. We know that I don't know when this invitation is going to be open, but it's open until the Lord returns. But none of us know when that is going to take place, or when this life comes to an end, whichever comes first. But the good news is, one can be added to the Lord's church today right now. If the need is there and the moving within your heart, all things are truly ready. If you need time to think about it, want more time, want to do more study, we are available for you. Take your Bible wherever you go. Examine these scriptures. Ask questions. But for those who are ready, we stand ready to assist you while we stand and sing.
Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.